Being a ministry wife is a role without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover, and I also am a pastor's wife, and I want to welcome you to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women in various ministry contexts having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about out loud. No topic is off limits. My guest for today is Brittany Brown. Brittany is a wife, a mom to three kids, and a women's ministry leader. She is doing life and church planting in a military community with her family. She has a heart for ministry wives, especially those serving in a transient cultural context. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Here, friends, is my conversation with Brittany Brown. Welcome, Brittany, to the podcast. I'm so glad to have you.
Hey, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I've been looking forward to this conversation. I follow you on Instagram. I think you follow me. I don't know, but yes, I just am super interested in people who are reaching military folks, and you are.
Yes, we are.
Tell me where you are.
We are right outside of Camp Lejeune, so it's a Marine Corps installation.
North Carolina? Oh,
in North Carolina, yes. Jacksonville is probably well known for it, and then the Topsail region, so... spelled topsail. We say topsail.
Topsail. Isn't that a really, is that kind of a tourist like beach area?
It is now, yes.
Okay.
It's a pretty hopping beach area, but it's still 80% military spread across it. So.
Okay. And your husband is in the military.
He actually just finished in March. So March 25th, 20 years of active duty service in the Marine Corps. So.
Well, congratulations.
Pretty cool.
That means you can retire, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's very cool. We've been together the entire time. So it's been a ride. Interesting journey.
So where all have you lived in the world?
Okay. Well, one strange fact about us is we've never been stationed overseas. My husband was. He did a tour in Okinawa, Japan, and then two combat tours to Iraq. But we have lived in California, Southern California, North Carolina twice, Oklahoma, and North Dakota. We've moved a total of 9 times in 19 years of marriage. So
that's amazing. Well, I just want to say thank you because I think the military service people, they get the thank yous, but sometimes the spouses don't. But the spouses have to do everything. Not everything, but they go where their spouse goes, and they pick up their lives and move because their spouse is called to move. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, thanks, girl. Yeah.
And also, I hear that the Marines is like really a really tough branch of the military.
Yeah, I don't want to be prideful in it. You know, I love the Marine Corps. It is. I mean, they're warriors. So, and where we are ministering to is unique because we're right outside of MARSOC, which is actually the Special Forces. So we just take it up a step.
Wow.
Where we're at. Yeah.
Okay. So just to be clear with the listener, your husband is pastoring. You guys have planted a church.
Yes.
And he was finishing up his military career.
Yes.
So now he's full-time ministry. Is that right?
Yes. Actually, it will be, let's see, it as of like the first week in April. Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So we think church planting's hard, but we, most of us listening, have not combined a military career with that. So,
yeah.
So y'all are specifically trying to reach the military community.
Yeah. So we are trying to reach the military community and also bridge the gap between the military and the local community. As we've traveled around, we've noticed there's just a need to do that. We kind of segregate ourselves. And so wanting to bridge that gap as well.
Okay. So are y'all planting with Pillar?
Yes. Yeah. We are part of the Praetorium Project, and Pillar Church of Jacksonville sent us here to this side of the base. So.
Okay. So what do you think church planting, how is it different when you're trying to reach a military community versus regular church planting?
Yeah. Well, you definitely see a ton of movement. And when I say that, it's Usually every 2 to 3 years, you're going to have a new church. So that's a little bit different than the civilian world. I think what we don't think of a lot in those communities is the fact of deployments, field ops that spouses are on, hardship duty tours where families can't go with the spouse. My husband and I were just talking about this morning about how you end up with a church a lot of times with a lot of women in it, just statistically in our communities. So those are some differences, I guess, yeah, off the top of my head.
And meeting needs that maybe a civilian church you're not meeting, you know, as far as their husband is overseas or whatever, meeting those needs would be a thing. So a lot of people listening are not planting probably in a military community, but they might be in a transient place. I live in a transient city where our church turns over. We say about 25% of our church turns over every summer. And so one of the things that I have found with that is that it takes so much energy from me. Like, you cannot sit back and coast because you're constantly starting over. So I'm wondering for you, what have been some of the challenges of doing ministry in a transient place?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I often tell our kids, you know, whatever your greatest strength is can also be your greatest weakness. And I feel like that's true even planting in a transient community. We see the movement and can raise up leaders and send them out. But it's also a big challenge. And like you said, you can't coast. I don't know if you can ever coast in ministry, but I know what you mean by that. Just really being intentional and setting boundaries with what it looks like to raise up those leaders and to know that we only have a short period of time and that's enough. Like, whatever God has provided in that season is enough. I find that challenging because I like to control things. So God sanctifies me through that. Also, I think another challenge for us is, like I mentioned before, just raising up women to minister to the other women. At any given time, our church could be filled with 75% women. You know, if it just looks like that, with tons and tons of little kids, like young families. So seeing that need can be a challenge as well, walking alongside the elders to help minister to them in a healthy way.
Do y'all kind of have an idea of what you want to impart or help people with in the time that you have them? Like, if you know that you have them for 2 years, how do you think about that as far as investing or imparting into them who you are?
I think that's a great question, because I think if you're in a transient community, you really need to know what the vision is. And our vision is to embrace the movement and see it as an opportunity, as taking the gospel, reaching them with it, discipling them, training up leaders, and then sending them out, holding them open-handed to go wherever they're going to go in the world, and then bringing in that new batch and doing the same. My husband and I really are a testimony to that. We were not raised in believing homes, and it was a small church in Vista, California that saw a need in a military community and met it and introduced us to Christ. So we are a testament to what we're trying to do, if that makes sense.
That's amazing. In the power of the Lord. So you became believers when you were already married?
Yes, we were 19 years old. So praise the Lord.
Wow.
For his goodness.
You got married at 19. Oh my goodness.
Yes. Yeah.
So you then you already had kind of caught the vision for what could be within the military community.
Yes, I think so. I think God just laid it on our heart to give back to the community that God drew us out of and showed us himself, you know, just being faithful where we're at. And I know I say this, embrace the movement, because I think in transient communities, sometimes we're afraid of the movement. And so we don't pour into those that are moving often because we don't see the fruit of it sometimes. And it's a lot of work knowing that they're going to leave. And so instead of holding them close-handed, just opening our hands with those people.
So how do you do that? How do you embrace the movement, as you say? I mean, because that's hard. Yeah. If you know what you just said, makes me think of 1 Corinthians 3, where Paul says, you know, I plant, some sow. And you're saying we're planting. We don't even really know what comes out of the ground. sometimes. Yeah. How do you embrace that?
Yeah, I know, because it can be discouraging, right? Like, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes we have days where we're like, Lord, like, are you doing anything here? And then he reminds us when there's visitors on Sunday or there's young families coming in that just need community. And they're like, we don't know where to look. So we're coming to the church. You know, we hear there's a lot of military here. I think you embrace it by being like Jesus, just loving people and knowing they don't belong to you. My husband and I constantly remind ourselves of that. These are not our people. These people belong to God, and he's just giving us the opportunity to be part of this season in their life, whether they're new believers or they're seasoned believers. Really just, I say, hold them open-handedly is how I embrace it. When I look at them, I see these are my people for this period of time, and they're probably going to leave eventually. And that's okay, because in the military community, or I don't know if it's like this where you're at in a transient community, but when you build those friendships, they become deep, like your family, because they don't have family around you. Mm-hmm. And so when they move, it's like sending our extended family somewhere that we try to keep in contact with. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I don't know if that's kind of how I see it. Just remembering they don't belong to me anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. What you're saying is true. It kind of, in some ways, there's opportunity in it, because mm-hmm. nobody is from where we are, and nobody's from where you are, but they're there for a reason, and then they leave for generally that same reason. And so we have opportunity to be family because they don't have family. That's a really good point. It's hard to remember that sometimes. But
it is.
Also, just when we talk about embracing the movement, I just think one of the things that it challenges in us is our motivation for church planting. That I'm just going to speak for myself, that sometimes we have this idea in our heads that we're going to build something great. And we imagine building on top of a foundation and continuing upward. Mm-hmm. But really, when you're planting in a transient place, there is none of that. It is, you're building forward in a straight line, being faithful, but there's no building upward because people leave. And it challenges my pride to go, oh, this isn't about me. This is about the Lord and what he wants to do, but it's never going to be this spotlight on us. Like, look what we did.
Yes. We often talk like we probably won't have a massive church, right? Like what you're saying.
Right.
I think a way in a transient community is to stay kingdom focused. And I have to remind myself of that all the time, because you're right. It challenges pride, self-sufficiency, or maybe not being seen like some of the, you know, bigger church planters out there. But I remember that God sees. He sees, he knows, and he's put us here. And I love to read missionary biographies. And, you know, some of those people we didn't know until well after they were with the Lord in heaven. You know, we read about their works. So I think staying kingdom focused has really helped me with that linear line. And again, we have a little bit of a different insight because I don't know if the right word is like we are product of the military. Like, so we know what it's like to say goodbye. Now we have to stay, and we're the ones saying goodbye, which is kind of hard, you know. But just staying kingdom focused and the Great Commission, it's really easy to see that lived out when you're in a transient community, because you're going, you're raising, you're sending, you're going, you're raising, you're sending.
Yes, that's amazing. Well, I find another challenge is just relationships in general, especially friendships. It can be really hard to, when you have to let go of people, to then go, okay, I don't know if I can do this again. Like, my heart, it just can't handle it. So what have you learned about friendship?
Yeah, I think that's really good. So it's interesting you asked that, because I read your book, Messy, Beautiful Friendship, a few years ago, and it was very, very helpful. So if anybody's listening, you should read that book. That friendship isn't always what we think it needs to look like. That was a really helpful takeaway from that book. So being friends and opening my home and life to the women and families that are here now, but also knowing that I can be an intentional friend even if they move away. Just having that tight group of girlfriends, I think, in some might not be right here. I also think really networking with other pastors' wives and ministry wives in your community that aren't leaving, that they're not transient. So you can live that life together and have that support system. I think is really helpful.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. How do you maintain those relationships with people who've moved on or that you've moved away from?
Yeah, it's interesting. We just had a family visit us that they've been gone for 4 years and reached out. They were coming back to visit because their son is going into boot camp. He's going into the Marines now. And we just stayed in contact really through social media. And then when I would see things she posts, or like when I posted about my husband's retirement, we purposefully reach out to each other, taking it offline, you know, like sending a text or, hey, do you have time for a call? In fact, I just listened a while back to one of your podcasts on social media, and I thought it was just really good points on that, on By Faith. So that's kind of how we've utilized that platform as a tool to stay connected mm-hmm. and within our church, you know, mm-hmm. as people travel and do things.
Mm-hmm. So. I think one of the joys of serving in a transient place is that you do have people all over the place that, yeah. you know, I could go to California and be like, oh, well, I could connect with this person, or I yes. go to New York, I could connect with this person because of serving in a transient place. There's kind of a, yes. there is an energy and a joy about it too. So I'm wondering what mm-hmm. some of the joys are for you serving in yeah. a transient place.
Oh my goodness. Well, just what you said, like we're able to travel on vacations and see people, or people call us and say, hey, you know, my siblings are in the area. Can they stop by? Do you know anywhere where they can stay? There are just, oh my goodness, Christine, so many joys about it. There are hardships, but there are joys as well of just knowing people that you've sent out and then getting to see what they're doing in those other places. I find that really joyful as I watch young families move away and I see them plug into a new church and a new community, and I see them being faithful or growing in their love for the Lord. And knowing, it's a good reminder for me that I don't need to be everything to everybody, that God is going to move them and there's something there in a different space for them too, and someone else is going to pour into them. Mm-hmm. I find a lot of joy in that, mm-hmm. seeing that play out.
And then God brings someone to not fill their spot, but then right. I've learned to kind of go, okay, God, who are you going to bring? You know, yes. those people left, but who's coming? And yes. there's an excitement about that too. And one of the things, we live in a place where there are a lot of military people okay. as well. We have military in our church. And oh. I had never been in a church with military people before, like current, you know, active military. And I have actually learned a lot from the military community around us. One of the things I noticed right away is that they are joiners. They jump right in because they have, you know, 1, 2, hopefully 3 years somewhere. Yeah. And they just jump in and they know it's not going to be perfect. And, you know, but I'm just going to go for it. And I'm going to serve and I'm going to meet people because I have a limited amount of time. And so you've been in the military, so you know what that's mm-hmm. like. But I wonder yeah. what you've learned from the military community that has impacted your walk with the Lord, your perspective on life, that kind of
yeah.
stuff.
Oh my goodness, those are big questions. My perspective on life. Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing the military community has taught me is that I cannot put my husband on a pedestal or any other person through hardships of separation, that Jesus is enough. It has caused me to lean into him in ways that I don't know that I would have had I not gone through certain trials in the military. Now, serving the military, it's taught me that they are people and they don't want to be segregated into a small ministry in the corner. And I speak that from experience. They want to be integrated into the church and be part of the family and embraced instead of pushed off like, oh, well, here's the little military ministry. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They want to come in and serve alongside of you. And you're right, they're joiners because they know they have a limited amount of time. And honestly, the military has trained them to be that way. They trained leaders. They trained people that sacrifice, are willing to surrender, and are taught to be faithful to a cause. So if we can encapsulate that for the cause of Christ, it's very powerful.
Very, very powerful. And you mentioned the Praetorian Project earlier, and I don't know if everyone knows what that is. Can you explain that? Because there are people who see this and are like, this is something that we want to kind of take advantage of, that we have people moving to these different bases.
Yes, I think it's interesting too, because my husband and I always talk, like, most people know somebody in the military, even if you're not in a transient community. If you live in Iowa or somewhere, you might have sent Johnny to the army. You know, there's churches there. But the Praetorian Project is a network of churches planting near military installations, solid Bible-believing, gospel-centered churches, with an emphasis to reach the military community. We know other churches are doing it, but they are underreached and underserved. And so the Praetorian Project has a desire to plant and then build that network so that when they move around, they can plug into a church much faster. Because over 20 years of moving in the military, that's probably one of the hardest things if you're a believer is, I hate the term church shopping, but I don't know what else to use, you know, just going from church to church. So we're trying to build this network to make that time shorter.
I love that. And I also imagine a young Marine coming into your church and going, hey, that guy knows what I'm doing and he knows what I'm dealing with. Like the pastor who's preaching the gospel, he also knows what it's like to be a Marine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a lot of our churches, we have plurality of elders. And so each church usually has some lay elders and they're usually active duty. That's a goal, so that there is that relational and they can speak into that if the pastor has never been in the military. A lot of our churches do have pastors who have been prior military and God has called them out of that to serve the military community. So it's kind of cool, I think.
Yeah. How old is your church?
Okay, so we planted in November of 2020. Okay. We constituted in May of 2021. So we're kind of still young.
So you're young. And you did it during COVID. Oh my goodness.
I know. And my husband was a full-time Marine. I don't know what. Well, actually, when we planted, both of the planting elders were active duty full-time Marines. With one of them, we knew a deployment was coming up. We were totally just trusting the Lord. Okay, God, this is yours.
Oh my
gosh. Help us be faithful.
Well, y'all need a nap after this retirement. Like, y'all take a good nap and then you can jump back in. So I'd love to know, you know, you're a pretty young church, but I'd love to know just a win that you've celebrated in terms of what God's doing among you there.
Yeah. I think of this young woman who is a Japanese woman, and she married a Marine in Okinawa, and they came over. And we were having a life group in someone's home, and this Marine had sponsored this family coming from Okinawa. And that just means, like, they said, hey, we're willing to help them transition. Marines do that. It's this program. And so they were staying at his house. And through that, she came to know the Lord. And it's been a huge blessing. I just think of the movement, like God brought her from Japan to the United States in this little living room where she asked all these questions about who Christ was, get saved. Her husband wasn't. And then they went through a really hard time with the premature baby and the love of the church surrounding them. And then he just acknowledged Christ as his savior. So that's a big win for us.
That is. Seeing
the movement. And really recognizing, like, God is bringing people from all over the world here to this tiny little place in North Carolina where we have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. I mean, there's so many, but I just really, they're precious to me. So I think of them when I think of a big win.
That's amazing. Praise the Lord. Well, just a closing question, Brittany. I'm wondering for people who are serving in transient place. And these days, I feel like a lot of places are transient places.
Yes.
But what is some tangible advice that you would give to a ministry wife who's serving in the same context?
Yeah, my encouragement would be obviously first to stay kingdom focused and to recognize the harvest around you is ready and not to be afraid of the transition. I think if we can really learn to see it as an opportunity instead of a hindrance, it would help us. And invest in those people. Open your home. I love the book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key by Rosaria Butterfield. Open your home. Have people at your table. be the church. It's supposed to be familial, you know, like be a family to those that are coming in. And it's hard. Our grocery budget is big, but it's necessary. I know that in our career moving around, it was those people that influenced us and impacted us before we ever really knew what discipleship was. People were discipling us around their kitchen tables, loving us as young kids, really, truly young kids. So yeah, that would be my encouragement. Don't be afraid of hospitality. Don't entertain. Just let people in. Mm-hmm. You might get hurt, but that's okay.
Yeah,
Christ suffered much more than we ever will in the transitional communities that we live in. So
that's great. Thank you so much. And thanks for joining me. It's been fun and encouraging to hear about your life there in North Carolina. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to the Ministry Wives podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. If you found this content helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your podcast platform or share it with a friend. You can find this podcast and other helpful resources at ministrywivespodcast.com.